Between 2007 and 2009, global markets lost $26 trillion in value, roughly equivalent to the entire US GDP at the time. Amid this chaos, Warren Buffett recommended a single book to investors trying to rebuild their shattered portfolios, Jason Zweig's The Little Book of Safe Money. What makes this work remarkable isn't just its timing, but its radical premise. While most financial books obsess over getting rich, Zweig tackles a more fundamental question: how do we keep what we have? His approach combines financial theory, market history, behavioral psychology, and insider knowledge of Wall Street's machinery. The result is a framework so powerful that even Taylor Swift credits it for her notably conservative investment strategy. The book's influence extends far beyond finance. Its risk management principles have shaped decisions in healthcare, technology, and business strategy, making it one of the most quietly transformative works of the post-crisis era. Three simple rules form the foundation of financial safety, yet they're violated constantly by investors. The first commandment: take no risk you don't need to take. Before investing, ask whether this risk is necessary. If your goal is retirement in 30 years, do you really need volatile cryptocurrency when diversified index funds might suffice? The second commandment: take no risk unless evidence suggests it will reward you. Small cap stocks are riskier than large caps, but decades of data show they've historically provided higher returns to compensate. This isn't about guaranteed success, nothing promises that, but about high probability based on sound evidence rather than wishful thinking. The third commandment: never risk money you can't afford to lose. Someone 5 years from retirement shouldn't gamble their nest egg on aggressive growth stocks, no matter how promising. Emergency funds belong in safe, liquid investments, period. These commandments create a powerful filter that screens out most dangerous investments. They force uncomfortable questions about motivations, evidence, and true financial capacity, questions most investors would rather avoid. The ideal portfolio is both solid and liquid. Solid meaning it won't lose most of its value, and liquid meaning you can convert it to cash anytime without significant loss. Your house is solid, but not liquid. Pre-2008 mortgage-backed securities appeared liquid, but weren't solid. The culprit in most liquidity crises is leverage, using borrowed money to invest. When you owe, you don't truly own. Leverage gives someone else the right to take your ownership away at the worst possible time. When Lehman Brothers collapsed in 2008, it froze trillions in securities and affected supposedly safe money market funds. Here's the insight. No matter how valuable an investment appears on paper, it has no practical value unless it's liquid when you need cash. Life's surprises, job loss, divorce, illness, can force immediate liquidation rather than optimal timing. Harvard's $37 billion endowment learned this in 2008 when illiquid investments forced them to sell stocks at fire sale prices. Keep enough highly liquid assets to cover a full year's living expenses. Without this cushion, spend less and save more until your liquidity reservoir can withstand 12 months of drought. Your biggest asset isn't your home or portfolio. It's your future earnings or human capital. Someone earning $50,000 annually with 3% raises will generate $1.4 million over 20 years, with a present value of $500,000 to $800,000. Like any asset, this faces risks: geographic dependence, inflation, and industry-specific vulnerabilities. Consider what could bankrupt your employer: customer concentration, excessive debt, or technological disruption. Tech workers in 1999-2000, oil employees in 2006-2008, and real estate agents during the housing boom made a critical error, concentrating both human and financial capital in the same industry. When sectors collapsed, they lost 80-90% of their wealth. Never invest heavily in your own industry. Doctors shouldn't overweight healthcare stocks. Bankers shouldn't concentrate in financial funds. Limit company stock to 10% maximum. Your human capital is already your largest holding. Don't let your financial capital crack when it does. In late 2008, panicked investors drove Treasury bill yields negative, guaranteeing losses while chasing safety. This reveals a fundamental truth. No investment is absolutely safe. Safety depends on price. Paying too much transforms safe havens into hazards. Cash is money convertible on demand, without cost, loss, or delay, into goods and services. Anything with fluctuating value isn't cash. Short-term bond funds marketed as safe as cash proved otherwise when Schwab Yield Plus lost 35.4% in 2008 due to risky mortgage securities. Wall Street constantly invents new ways to promise higher yield at low risk, from government plus funds in the 1980s to auction rate securities in the 2000s, but these inevitably fail. The fundamental law: you can have low risk or high yield, never both. Even money market funds proved vulnerable when Reserve Primary Fund broke the buck after Lehman's collapse. A young investor fully in stocks in October 2007 would have lost 60% by March 2009. With 20% in cash, losses dropped to 48%. With 40% in cash, just 36%. Match asset horizons with your liabilities. Use insured bank deposits for spending within a year, CDs for 1 to 5 years, and Treasury inflation-protected securities for needs beyond 5 years. From 1982 to 2007, the U.S. stock market should have reached $28.2 trillion at its 13.3% average return, yet ended at only $18.7 trillion, nearly $10 trillion missing. This gap reveals a crucial truth. Investments don't make or lose money, investors do. While Kinetics Internet Fund averaged 42.4% annual returns from 1998 to 2001, its average investor lost 15.8% annually because they bought at peaks and panicked at bottoms. During 2008-2009, those who sold during the crash missed 67% of recovery gains. Dalbar's 20-year study found the S&P 500 returned 9.9% annually, while the average equity fund investor earned only 5.2%. To close this gap, avoid chasing performance, match holding periods to time horizons, commit to dollar cost averaging, embrace funds with redemption fees, rebalance annually, and track sold investments. Trading typically reduces returns by 1.5 percentage points annually before taxes. The most active traders underperform the least active by 6.5% annually. Safety in investing isn't about avoiding all risk. It's about taking only necessary, well-compensated risks with money you can afford to lose. It means maintaining both solidity and liquidity in your portfolio, recognizing that your earning capacity is your greatest asset, and protecting it accordingly. Cash, bonds, and stocks each play distinct roles, and mixing them based on your time horizon creates resilience. The gap between investment returns and investor returns isn't just a statistic, it's the story of human behavior under pressure. The missing $10 trillion vanished because investors let fear and greed override discipline. In a world promising easy wealth through complex strategies and hot tips, true financial safety comes from embracing simplicity, maintaining liquidity, diversifying broadly, and doing nothing when everyone else is panicking or celebrating. Your portfolio should let you sleep soundly at night, not wake you up checking prices at 3 a.m. Because keeping your money safe isn't about maximizing every potential bane. It's about ensuring you're still standing when the next storm inevitably arrives.